Well, that's my joke for today. Pray for Myra. She'll be having her back surgery this coming Monday. Okay, we're going to resume where we left off last week. Last week we was looking at going soul winning. And why should we go soul winning? We see in the Bible that all saved people are to be witnesses to others and obey the Great Commission. The Great Commission we saw last week, where it's found in all four of the Gospels, as well as the book of Acts. If you weren't here last week, I encourage you to download the message from the website. It is up there on the website, and it'll help you to understand why we must go soul winning. God expects every saved person to go and tell the gospel. The gospel is what people must hear to be saved. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Mark 1:17, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Have you forsook your nets and followed him? Jesus called his disciples to be fishers of men. Jesus wants to make us fishers of men. Excuse me. So when I decide to share the gospel with others, just where do we begin? Brother Cameron, look in that room right there and give me a little bottle of water. Thank you. A good fisherman or fisherwoman needs to cast the right bait. If you don't put your bait in the water, you won't catch fish. If you don't cast the bait of the gospel, you won't catch men. Many people use the excuse, well, they can't witness to others because they don't know enough of the Bible to witness. Well, we should study the Bible. We should know the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But we should not use that as an excuse of not knowing enough of the Bible to witness to others. One great way to witness is to hand out tracts. Thank you. One great way to witness is to hand out tracts. Of course, most of you know that Pastor Kerrigan, someone handed him a track, and he got saved and went on to become a mighty giant of a man for God. And it all started with someone handing him a track. That should encourage us to hand out tracks. There's tracks in the foyer. I encourage you to pick them up and use them. Leave them wherever you go. A track has been called the silent witness. The silent witness or the silent preacher. I was teaching the teens about soul winning. And when was the teens, after we got through with our classes, the teens actually went out and started door knocking. We went door to door, invited people to church, and gave them a tract. We've got some of these brochures about invited to our church, and we're having some more printed up. So if nothing else, just go and say, I'm going to invite you to church, and handle one of these brochures. And this brochure, on the inside of it, has the plan of salvation. So if they read that plan of salvation and do what it says, they can get saved. Amen. Sometimes while door knocking, We can just simply hand out a tract or hand out a brochure, but then there are some times when we go door knocking, people are interested. Interested in learning more about the Lord, or even interested, you may have the opportunity to share the gospel and win someone to Christ. There was a man commenting on our teens as we was going out. He was out in the yard, and I went up and started talking to him as our teens was coming up. And he was saying that he goes to church. He was telling me what church he goes to, and he was telling me that he was saved. And he was saying, I am so proud of these teenagers. So he went over there and started addressing the teenagers and told them how proud he was for them going out in the community and leaving tracts and inviting people to church. He was really encouraging our teens. And I agree, we need to be more involved in going out into the community. We looked last week about we need to, in Acts 1:8, both here at home and around the world, we need to be getting out the gospel. Well, don't forget that here at home part. Going across the street or neighbors or co-workers. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, putting that in Packlet language, that means if we go out and share the gospel, God's going to get the increase, and we're all going to share in the rewards. You may give out a tract, you may give out a gospel witness. They may not get saved. Somebody else may come along. They still may not get saved. Somebody else may come. Somebody may be praying for them, may be praying for them for years, and then they get saved. Well, all everyone that had anything to do with those seeds are all going to share in the rewards, and of course, God is going to get the increase. Well, we need to get in on it. Think about it. We should be excited to offer someone the greatest gift that they could ever receive, which is, of course, eternal life. The least we can do is hand out a tract or hand out a brochure and invite someone to church. If you're saved, you know what happened to you, right? You was there, wasn't you? You and I who are saved have a testimony. So a good place to start casting out the bait for fishing is to just tell others how you got saved. Tell them your personal testimony. When someone's a witness or gives a testimony, they tell about something they know by experience. Even in a court of law, if they bring in a witness, they don't want to hear, well, hearsay, she said, no, they want to, what did you see? What did you experience? That's what you can witness to, what you saw, what you was, and the same way with Christ. What did you see? What did you experience? What happened to you when you got saved? Giving your testimony can help remove persons' doubts. Sometimes you may approach them and one of their, well, it's none of your business, or no one can know for sure. They may have a bad attitude. But then once you've given your testimony and some personal information, then you can start transitioning into the plan of salvation. Some of the ideas for transition questions, you may say something like, if you was to die today, are you 100% sure you will go to heaven? Would you let me show you from the Bible how you can know for sure? When witnessing to a person, we need to be aware that some saved people may think they need to get saved again because they may have sinned or they may have done something to somebody and they just don't feel saved anymore. They may not understand that God also has a way of dealing with his children's sin after they're saved. We can't see inside a person's heart. We can and should ask the person if they're saved. And if they give a good testimony of being saved, then we can explain biblically that they cannot be saved again. Once you're born, you can't get unborn. Just like you can't get unborn physically, You can't crawl back up in your mama's womb and get born again physically. So when you're born again spiritually, you can't get unborn spiritually. Nicodemus even asked that question. Can I get back up in my mama's womb? How do I get born again? And of course, Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth, and that spiritual birth, being born again, of course, is salvation, and it only happens one time. So be careful also not to tell a person, well, you are saved or you are not saved. Only God can look on the heart. I believe what they tell me. They tell me they're saved, I believe they're saved. Now, they might bust hell wide open. But I'm going to believe what they tell me because I can't see their heart. Usually, if someone does tell me they're saved, I usually ask the question, will you tell me your salvation experience? And usually I can tell by that salvation experience answer if I really do think they're saved or not. I have received many, many answers to that question. And of course, to be saved, you must have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior through repentance and actually got biblically born again. The Holy Spirit, again, is the only one that convicts the heart and draw them to salvation. So we're to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and give the truth of God's word. This might also be a good time if they are struggling and they are doubting to point them to 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 will explain to them that once you are saved, you don't get saved again, but there's a remedy through confession and repentance and agreeing with God, and he'll justify us and get us back into fellowship. We can't lose salvation, but we can lose fellowship. We can be out of God's will. We can be backslidden. And a good verse for that is 1 John 1:9, and it's written to save people. It's like a bar of soap. I use the analogy of being out in the hot sun that Brother Jackie was talking about and getting all hot and sweaty, and then you come in and just take a good shower and how clean you feel. Well, that's what 1 John 1:9 does. Says it'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word confess means we have to agree with God. We have to see our sin as God sees it, and we have to turn from it. Now, if you go to God and you confess your sins, and then you go again and again and again and again, then no. Once you confess your sins, once you repent of those sins, you should strive to not do that sin again. And God knows your heart if you're serious enough to strive to do that. So that word confess means to agree with God about your sin. And God has that forgiveness even after we're saved. And then you can explain to a person that's truly saved that, no, you don't need to get saved again. You just need to get forgiveness of what you've done and get back in fellowship with God. Again, we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. There are many verses in Scripture that we can use to give the gospel. We're going to look at some of those tonight. Some of the verses I like to use are found in the book of Romans. It's sometimes called the Romans Road. We're going to go through that tonight as one of our road maps. You don't have to use the Romans Road. You can say, Brother Tommy, when I got saved, nobody gave me the Romans Road. The Romans Road is not the only scriptures in the Bible. John 3:16's got enough gospel to save the whole world. Amen. So be sensitive, but the book of Romans and the Romans Road gives it plain all the way from sin entering into the world to that we're a sinner, we need a Savior, and how to get saved. It goes through the whole plan, so that's why I want to go through it tonight. If you mark in your Bible, I encourage you, write in the leaf of your Bible, and I want you to turn with me as we go through these verses. You can start out in the inside leaf of your Bible to say, go to Romans 3:10. You can just write in the, and now if you don't write in your Bible, and a lot of people don't, whether you do or don't, that's up to you. If you don't write in your Bible, then just make some notes and put it in the leaf of your Bible. And the reason I'm saying this is because if you want to lead someone to the Lord, the last thing you don't want to try to remember where all these verses are, because it's hard to do. But if you've got it right there in front of you, go to Romans 3:10, then you go straight to Romans 3:10. Now, when you get to Romans 3:10, right over in the margin, 3:23, right beside the Romans 3:10, right beside the verse, just go over in the margin and just write 3:23. Now turn with me to 3:23. If you turn over to 3:23, right there in your margin, 5:12. 5:12, and we're going to go through these in a minute. Turn with me to 5:12. When you get to 5:12, right in your margin, just put a little 6:23. 6:23. Now turn with me to 6:23. And write out in your margin, 5:8. 5:8. So go backward to 5:8. And then put down the last verses that you'll use in the Romans Road, which is 10:9-13. And that's where we'll finish up the Romans Road. And we're going to go through this. So then when you turn to 9:13, you have now marked the verses. And the reason it's called the Romans Road is because all of these verses are in the book of Romans. And it clearly presents, if someone has never heard the gospel, it clearly presents the roadmap, which again we're going to look at. And once you've shown someone these scriptures, it's best as you turn to each of these scriptures, it's best if you even let them read it. Will you read this? And of course, if they won't, then read it for them. Read it out loud so they can hear and know exactly what it says. But it's best that you read it to them. So now we're going to go through each of these. So if you will, turn to Romans 3:10. And you should have had that in the leaf of your Bible, right? Go to Romans 3:10. And then when you go to Romans 3:10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So we're telling the sinner, we're telling this person, and you may say something like this, is there anyone righteous in God's sight? Well, the Bible plainly says there's none righteous, right? I admit, you can even say, I admit, I'm not righteous, because there is none righteous. By human standards, there are a lot of good people. But God sees the heart, and when he sees the heart, he sees we're all sinners. So what's your margin say? 3:23, is that what it says? So turn to 3:23. 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Explain to them. Looking at this verse, would you agree that you have sinned? Would you agree by this verse? Because the verse says, for all have sinned. Would you agree that you've sinned just like everybody else has sinned? And we've all come short? And then over in your margin, it should say 512. So turn to 512. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, now we're getting down to where sin came from. Whereby as one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So here you can explain to them, ever since this one man, Adam, when he sinned in the Garden of Eden, since that time of Adam, everyone is born into sin. It says, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We inherited Adam's sin nature. We were born this way. We were born a sinner. We were born into sin. I inherited my brown eyes and bald head from my dad. But I also inherited my sin nature from my dad. We all have that sin nature ever since Adam. And that's why people die. And that's why they have to face God at the judgment. So can you see how we were born lost and we need to be saved? So your margin should say 623. So then you would turn to 623. In Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Now we've just been told that we're all sinners. And now here's the penalty. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you can explain to them that wages of sin is death. There's two types of death. There's physical death, and then there's the second death. In the book of the Revelation, we're studying this quarter, we're going to be looking a lot at the second death. That physical death is when our soul separates from our body. The second death is that if you die lost, then you'll be separated from God in hell in the lake of fire. And the Bible explains all that in the Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. And only lost people will experience the second death. And then the word wages, the wages. The wages means the payment. If I work a job and I want to get, when I get my wages at the end of the week, I get my payment for working. That word wages means payment. That wages or payment of sin is death. That means that a normal result of our sin is the second eternal death. That's what we have earned and that's what we deserve. But praise God, I'm glad the verse doesn't stop there. I've got good news. I'm thankful that the verse didn't end with the second death, because God offers a gift that Jesus purchased by shedding his blood on Calvary. And the gift of God is eternal life. And the only way to get that eternal life and go to heaven is to receive salvation, which is that free gift. And we have to accept that gift by faith, because we do not deserve it. We do not deserve it. All that go to hell are simply getting what they deserve, the wages of sin. But all that go to heaven go because we received the free gift of God through Jesus Christ, and we're not getting what we deserve. We're getting mercy and we're getting grace. And we get to enjoy the free gift that Jesus paid for us. That eternal life, and there's no other way except through him. And then you should have in your margin Romans 5:8. So you turn to Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He doesn't wait for us to get cleaned up. We wait to get cleaned up and stop doing this and stop doing that. You putting the cart before the horse. It's while we were yet sinners he died for us. What a wonderful truth. Somebody had to die for sin. I must die for my sin, or someone that's worthy and sinless must take my place. And because of his great love, Jesus Christ died in my place. He died in the sinner's place. You're witness to somebody. He died in your place. He died for you. And then you may ask them, do you have a debt that you deserve to pay? Well, Jesus has paid it for you. On the cross, the Father had to turn his face away because our sin was put on him. And it even separated Jesus from God during that time on the cross. The darkest moment in history. And any sinner can accept that free gift of salvation, but they have to accept it. That's the key. They have to accept it. I can give you a present, but if you don't accept it, it's not going to do you any good, is it? You have to accept that present or that gift before it'll help you. Amen? And then it should tell you in your margin to go to Romans 10:9, and this is where we finished up. Romans 10:9. And now you're telling this person that you're witnessing to, have him to read the verse, or read it to him, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that Christ has died in the sinner's place, he's paid the sinner's debt, what the sinner needs to do now is to claim what Christ has offered. And of course, that sinner can say yes or he can say no. So now keep reading in Romans 10:9 and now 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. That's where I got in. If you're saved, that's where you got in. I'm glad it didn't say, for Tommy can call on the Lord. There's a bunch of Tommies in this world. I wouldn't have known it was me. But whosoever, I know I can get in on that. I know that even includes me, amen? So these verses promise that anyone that truly places their trust in Jesus Christ and believing that he's God the Son who died on the cross and resurrected from the dead shall be saved. And then explain to them, I cannot save you. The preacher cannot save you. But God can save you. And he's wanting to. Jesus died and arose and sent him back to heaven. He's alive right now, sitting at the right hand of God, the Father. And he'll hear us if we pray believing. There's a verse that's not in the Romans Road. If you want to make a note, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So at this point, you may ask the person you're dealing with if they understand what the Bible had to say about going to heaven. If they don't understand, go back and look at these verses again. But don't pressure them to repeat a prayer after you. You need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's our responsibility to give a clear presentation. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict them. And we sure don't want to pressure them into being saved if they're not being drawn by the Holy Spirit. Especially a child. Brother Jackie mentioned that about our children need to be saved. And I second that. Amen. I pray for them every day. But you got to be very, very careful dealing with a child. Very careful. You can talk a child into about anything. You do not want to talk a child into their salvation. You make sure that they're being drawn, they're being convicted. And it's very awesome responsibility. There is a lot of people walking around today, and I know a lot of them. They say they got saved as a child, and yet they will have nothing to do with God. It makes you wonder. It makes you wonder. So don't pressure them into saying a prayer. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if a person says they don't want to pray, they don't want to get saved, leave a tract with them. And just tell them that you're going to be praying for them. And tell them, ask them to do what the tract tells them to do. And if they do pray and ask the Lord to save them, and explain that if he or she accepts Christ as their Savior, then they should tell someone, they should tell everyone. Try to even arrange them for to tell the preacher, or the teacher, or others about their salvation. And then explain that God wants them to grow. He wants to learn more about them, and they need to get in a good Bible-believing church and read their Bible and pray. So these are some of the examples of the verses. Remember, God promised to go with us. And now I want to use the last 5 minutes or so that I got. I want to give some practical things about going soul winning. One of the things is, too, we have these New Testaments here. It's got a marked edition in it. It even tells you, turn here, turn here, turn here, turn here. It's got the plan of salvation marked through this New Testament. Mount Pisgah published these for us, one of our missionaries. And if anybody wants one of these, let me know I'll give you one. So some good practical things about soul winning. Number one, before you go soul winning, pray. Pray earnestly before you go, because only God can save someone. We can give them the gospel. We can light that dynamite, that fuse in their heart. And we can pray, but God does the saving. We need to pray for wisdom, where to go, what to say. Lord, guide my lips. He may not want you to use the Romans road. He may want you to use other verses. Pray for the power of the Holy Ghost upon you. Soul winning is a supernatural business. No one can soul win without supernatural power. Number two, it's a good idea to go in groups of two. You don't want a big group going up on the porch overwhelming them. Go out by twos and let one do the talking and let the other one run interference. Brother Tommy, what do you mean by interference? I can assure you that if you're talking to someone about Christ that's really interested in getting saved, the devil's going to raise his head and something's going to try to interfere with it. So let your partner run the interference. Maybe get in front of the dog and to keep the dog from barking or whatever is going on here. Let only one do the talking. Don't keep jumping. One person should do the talking. The other one should be, if you don't have interference to run, pray. Pray. Satan is going to make sure there's distractions. And as a general rule, it's not a good idea to interrupt or add into the conversation. If you want to do the talking, maybe you can take the next house and do the talking. Another is dress neatly and modestly. I really don't think you should wear a suit. There's a lot of Mormonism and Jehovah Witness and all that comes up to a suit, and a lot of people see them come up and they just slam. Me personally, when I go soul winning, I like to just wear a casual, maybe a polo shirt and a pair of khakis or something, and not try to overwhelm them with how good I can dress. You don't want to scare them off before you even get to talk to them. So dress modestly. And if you got a breath problem, use breath mints. Amen. Another thing I encourage people is don't go up there with a Bible about this big and you're like you're going to beat them over the head with it. When I go sewing in, I got a little pocket Bible. I just put in my back pocket. You don't even see a Bible. But then if I need it, I can pull out my pocket knife. Amen. Or maybe a New Testament. Or now, if all you got is a big Bible, then carry it. But I'm just saying that you don't want to scare them off before you even get to talk to them. Be courteous, be kind, and don't. No, we ain't up there to beat them up. We want to bring them in. Sugar should be melting in your mouth. Be courteous, kind, listen. Give them an opportunity to say who they are and let them talk. The more they talk, the more comfortable they get with you, the more likely they are to listen to what you have to say. Listen to what they have to say, and then they'll give you a change. And then you can tell them what you have to say. But try to get that rapport going with them. And then a good transition, as you're talking maybe a few minutes, a good transition, you may just come out of the blue and ask them, do you ever think about spiritual things? And then sort of transition the subject into the scripture. Stay on topic. Keep the main thing. And don't debate issues. Very important. Don't get in no heated discussions. And don't go up and say, bless God, you're a sinner and going to hell. Nope. You're not going to win anyone to the Lord doing that. They're going to say, get out from my porch. Get out of here. If instead of saying you're a sinner, saying, hey, we're all sinners. We all need a Savior. Be warm and gentle and genuine. And stay on the main topic. But guide the conversation back to salvation. If they try to change the subject, I remember we were studying about the woman at the well just a couple months ago in our Sunday school. And Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and then when she recognized he was the Messiah, she said, well, how about over in Jerusalem in that temple? Jesus said, hey, you need living water. He didn't go talking about the temple. He put the conversation right back to her for what you need. Stay on the subject. Control the conversation if you can. And if they try to say, well, where did Cain get his wife? Or, you know, why does God allow war? Why is he alive? Say, well, maybe we can answer those questions later. But how about right now? Can I show you this verse? Can I talk to you about this? You might want to say, hey, that's a good question. Can we look at what the Bible says about, and then maybe when we're done we can talk about. Here's the thing. They're trying to head you off from talking about salvation. And then when they get, there is no need to debate the Bible, because the Bible says a lost person can't understand it no way. So why would you want to debate the Bible when a lost person can't even understand what you're debating about? What they need to understand is we're all sinners. We all need a Savior. We all need to get saved. And I'm here to help you get to that point. And then the last thing, and my time's gone. One of the most important things from the lesson is that we all make a decision to go soul winning. You're never going to catch fishers of men if you don't ever go. We've already covered that along with the command for us to go. We looked at all that last week. We're to go, we're to witness, we're to win souls. We got a great commission. And God promises to go with us, and He promises to provide what we need. And remember this, God won't ask us to do anything without providing the needs for us to do it, the means for us to do it. So let's get a burden for going soul winning. There's no greater joy in sowing the seed. And sometimes when we sow the seed, we even get to do a little reaping in the harvest. But we got to be out there working in the garden to do it, right? It's going to be hard for us to wait on the tomatoes to come out on the vine, and we never set any tomatoes out in the garden. It's going to be hard to win treasures and crowns in heaven for soul winning if we never do it. So I hope these last 2 weeks, like I said, if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to download it from the internet. It's up on the website, MorningstarBaptistChurch.com. And I hope from last week on getting a burden for soul winning, why we must go soul winning, how we should go here at home and then support missionaries around the world, that God's plan is for us to be His spokesperson, His witness. And then tonight I hope to just give you the Romans Road and some scripture and some practical ways to maybe help you to go soul winning. So I hope that you've got something out of it. Father, we love you. We thank you for first loving us. We thank you, Lord, for entrusting souls to us. Lord, we realize you could have had the angels to do it. We realize, Lord, you could just snap your fingers and save them without them even making decisions. Lord, you could write it in the sky. Lord, there's so many ways you could have used to proclaim the gospel, but yet you left us here, Lord, after you saved us. You left us here to be your witness, your ambassador. Lord, to represent you, to proclaim the gospel here at home and around the world. And I pray, Lord, that Morning Star Baptist Church as a whole and individually, including me, Lord, especially me, Lord, gets a greater burden to win souls. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. You're at liberty. If anyone does want